Because all of the important things in my life kind of run simultaneously together. Because when I met her, it kind of started my faith walk, my faith journey. I asked on 2 dates. We went on 2 dates, but the third date she told me no, that I had to go to church, and that kicked off my faith walk. So when we get to this time of year, you know, there are certain times of year where you start to count milestones in your life. And so, you know, we met back in 2003. And so I'm going somewhere. This is my testimony. There really do I testify. But I'm just saying over the last 20 years, amen. You know, this walk for me has been a roller coaster ride. And all of it, God, just like that song, God has been good in all of it. The roller coaster ride has been me. The roller coaster ride has been my faithfulness. The roller coaster ride has been my dedication. The roller coaster has been my fear. You know, sometimes I'm up with God, sometimes I'm down with God. Sometimes I'm on fire with God, sometimes I'm not, right? So this is your pastor talking to you, and I say this to you because in this walk, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. But the word tells that the race is not given to the strong or the swift. It's just that you got to hold on, you got to endure. So sometimes you're going to get hit with death in your family. Sometimes it's going to be divorce. Sometimes it's going to be your kids. Sometimes your money going to be funny. Sometimes it's going to be your job. Sometimes it's going to be your family. You're going to feel like people have turned their back on you. You know, sometimes you ain't going to feel like being here. Right? Sometimes you're not going to want to hear the word. Sometimes you're not going to want to pray. But it's, can you hold on to God long enough? Can you endure long enough to get to the other side of that valley? So when we hear David pray, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Right, but I shall fear no evil because your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right? You're making a place for me in the presence of my enemies. You're anointing my head with oil all while I'm going through this valley experience. I cannot endure long enough to make it back up to the mountaintop to have another experience with God.
Amen.
To have another experience with God. Right? Can I make it through there? And I say all of these things. It's not my sermon. All this just came to me during the devotion. I say these things because, y'all, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm in one of those places now. You know, while the church was going on, the fast, and Pastor D was doing all of this ministering and having one-on-ones with y'all, and and walking with y'all, all that was needing her effort. I'm kind of just coasting in the background, and it felt like I was just sent to the Lord. It's like it felt good to just ride in the background, because being up front, being big pastor, as she called me, being big pastor, you get tired sometimes. But that, like that song, God has never wavered. He's never left me. When I think about him, and y'all see me take the glasses off, and I know that he's still present. I like to be real and transparent with y'all, because I know that sometimes you can look at ministers, or you can look at your pastors or whoever, and feel like, you know, they can't do no wrong, or they holier than thou, or they don't go through anything, or they don't struggle, or they don't have questions for God, or they don't wonder things about God. And I never want y'all to feel that way about me, because I feel all of those things. The reason that I'm able to, that where it seemed like I never stopped, is not me, it's him. Like that part of me that you see never stopping, that part of me that you see showing up, that part of me still being available when people walk away, that part of me, that's not me. It's him. It's him. And so God has given me the title today for the word. The title is Clearly. Because God has a way of making us see things clearly. He has a way of saying things clearly. He has a way of explaining things perfectly clear. So clear that a fool can't err. So clear. He says things in a way that a fool, somebody with no sense, can't mess it up. He has a way of talking to us like that. If you haven't, there's a show that we've been watching it as a family. It's called The Chosen. And it's free. If you got it, Roku or Amazon or whatever, download The Chosen app, put your email in and watch. But we've been watching that as a family, and it's one of the last episodes that we were watching over the past two nights. It was kind of showing Jesus, and Jesus was kind of, his feelings was hurt, because he kept saying things to the disciples, and he was saying them in a way that he felt that they should just be clear. Like he kept telling the disciples, like, I'm getting ready to lay down my life, I'm gonna suffer. He kept calling himself the Son of Man. He kept explaining to them in a way like, by now, y'all have seen me do all of these miracles. Y'all been walking with me. You've seen me show up time and time again. By now, y'all should know that I'm God. Like but every time he would explain, he was like, they were like, Rabbi, we don't know what this, like, what this mean? What are you saying? And he was just like, like, when y'all gonna get it? Like, when you gonna understand that I'm the Messiah, I'm the person that all this stuff is about, like all this stuff that we've been doing, all these teachings, all these people, all these lives I've been touching, when you're going to realize that all of this is about me and what I came to do and what God is trying to do for you? Like, why are you still afraid of death? Like, why are you still angry with me when people die? Why are you still worried about what we're going to eat when you see me multiply the loaves? Like, why you still worried about these taxes? And you've been walking with me, and you've seen me give sight to the blind. You've seen me make the lame walk. You've seen me do all of these things. Right? You've seen how I operate. You've seen how I'm not chasing after money. How I'm turning the other cheek. You've seen how I operate. Yet, and still, your first thought is to do stuff your way, to do stuff the way the world would tell you to do it, when you see clearly that's not how I operate. And so that's kind of what this word is about today, why he gave me the title Clearly. And I'm going to be in Matthew, the 10th chapter. You can stand if you feel led. I'm going to be reading a lot. I'm going to be reading the whole chapter. But if it get good to you, then you stand up. Amen. But I'm going to be in Matthew 10. And I want to start at the 30th verse, and then I'm going to go back to the beginning, because the 30th verse says, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. That's very clear, isn't it? When it's read like that, that is very clear. God is saying, I know the number of hairs on your head. Every single one. And he follows that up with, don't be afraid. Our fears often get in the way of the clarity of the gospel. The things that God says to us be so clear, but our fears get in the way of that. They stop us in our tracks. We start trying to figure out how we gonna make it. How we gonna make it if I don't do this, if I don't have that? How I'm gonna make it if this person is not with me or that person says this? How am I gonna make it? All of those are fears. All of those are fears. You might not think that they fear, but you know, even when it's dealing with death, it's the fear of the unknown. What's on the other side of that thing? Will I see you again? What's going to happen when I go? All of it's fears. All the problems we have with our job is fear, right? Because we work hard to obtain, and we know that we have to keep working for fear of losing what we've gained. All of it is fear. And Jesus is basically, if you read that chapter, then when he's talking about the sparrow, he's saying not one bird drops out of the sky. Not one bird falls to the earth and dies, and God doesn't know that a part of his creation has died. He said if he cares that much about the birds, then how much more does he care about you? Like down to that detail, the scripture Jesus is saying is that clear. And he's telling them that so that they won't walk in fear. And so now I'm taking you back to the beginning of the chapter. Because in this chapter, he is explaining to his disciples, he's explaining to his students how they should behave. He's giving them a charge. He's giving him his expectations for what a disciple, for what one of his followers, how they should live. And y'all, these expectations, they're not cute. They're not fun, but they are very clear. And it's this clarity that I think a lot of us miss. Number one, we miss it because of fear. We miss it because of pride, right? But on the flip side of that, how many of us in here will say, you know, Pastor, I just want to get it right. I just want to get it right. How many of us will say, I just want to hear from God, right? How many of us will say, I just want to do his will? Like we say those things, and then when God makes it clear to us or plain to us what we have to do that, then all of a sudden it's not clear no more. We start asking 100,000 questions. Now I heard, but what you mean when you said that, God? What you mean? What does it mean to turn? What does it mean to cut some, like, really, what does it mean to cut somebody off? You just talking about don't go out with them, or you just talking about don't test them? You mean delete the number in the phone? We be wanting the details then. But if he cut off. Turn mean turn. Right? So in the 10th chapter, Jesus makes it very clear what his disciples are about to do. He makes it very clear what he wants from them. And so Matthew 10 and 1 tells us, right? Matthew 10 and 1 is talking about the confidence and the discernment. Because you can be confident and wrong. You can be confident and wrong. But 10 and 1 tells us about the confidence and the discernment that we are supposed to have when we pray. So Matthew 10 and 1, it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together And he gave them authority. He gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. How many of y'all feel like you have the authority to cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness? Jesus is clear, ain't it? But I can feel the doubt in the room. I can feel the doubt in the room. A big part of the last two episodes of that show that we was watching was Jesus decided to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he allowed some other people to die. And the disciples were having a real hard time with that. They were having a real hard time trying to figure out, Jesus, why did you allow this one to live and you took this one to die? And Jesus never got angry. They were questioning. They were screaming. They were breaking stuff. And Jesus never got angry. He never got upset. He just like, I know you don't understand, and I'm going to be with you through all of this. He said, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you through all of this until the day that you're able to understand why. And he was trying to tell him, even when he was getting ready to raise Lazarus, he said, I'm doing this so that you would believe. How many of y'all believe that God would allow some people to die in order to get you to believe? And he will allow others to live in order to get you to believe. See, that's clear to me, right? And it was clear as Jesus was telling it to his disciples, but it wasn't clear to them. They couldn't see that God had a purpose in that, because it hurt too bad. Because they were afraid, right? They couldn't see that he had a purpose in that thing. But God does. He allows these things to make us confident in who he is. It's like if losing Granny was the worst thing that could happen, and he can bring you through it and bring you through the other side, then what can deter you after you lose Granny? If you can survive losing Granny, then what can stop you after that? Amen. If losing Dad is the thing, right? If having the miscarriage was the worst thing, and you live, he brings you and he walks with you through that, and that was the worst thing, then what can deter you after that? If you can live through the worst thing, then you're going to come out with confidence and discernment. You're going to come out thinking like, I can cast out evil spirits. You're going to come out thinking like, I can pray. And if it's in the will of God, I can heal any manner of infirmity, any manner of sickness and disease. But that's the discernment part, because you can pray in confidence. God, take such and such out this hospital bed. You can pray in confidence. But what about the discernment? You praying in confidence to get them out the bed, and God is saying, it's my will to take them so that they won't suffer anymore. Right? That's the wisdom. This is me now. By the time we get to Matthew 10, verses 8 through 15, Jesus is telling his disciples about, you know, he's already told them, I need you to have confidence. I give you authority to cast out spirits. You right? I give you authority to heal all kinds of disease and illness. And even with that, y'all realize that some disease and some illness is not always physical. Sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes coming to the altar is not just to heal a physical ailment, but it's to heal a broken heart. Right? But in order to walk in these things that Jesus is explaining to his disciples, when we get to 8 to 15, Jesus begins telling them about how you can't put your needs before the gospel. To be a follower of Jesus, you can't put your needs, amen, what you personally need, you can't put your needs before the good news. You have to let the good news go forth first. You have to put the gospel before your own personal stuff and trust that Jesus is going to take care of you on the other side. So when we get to the eighth verse, Jesus charges them. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. Don't take any money in your money belts. No gold, no silver, no copper coins. It's clear, ain't it? He said, when I send you out, don't worry about how you're going to accomplish this thing. Some of us are waiting to do that thing that God has called us to do, but we gotta have a little money first before we do it. That's why all of my friends got these babies in kindergarten and first grade, and my youngest going to high school. Because they had to wait and they got to get their masters and they had to do all this stuff before they started their family. Right? And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you have your children. It's a blessing either way. Because my first children, they grew up on hamburger helping Kool-Aid. The older children, when it's their birthday, they want to go eat sushi. Right? So it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, but you gotta discern. And you got to just do what God is calling you to do in the moment and not try to plan out every single thing before you do the will of God.
Amen.
Just move when he say move. Yes. Some of us going to move when we in our 30s because that's when he's calling us to move. He's calling us to accomplish that thing. And some of y'all, he's calling to move right now while you in your 20s.
Yes. Yes.
Every story and every testimony is not the same. Jesus in the ninth verse clearly says, don't take any money in your money belts, no gold, no silver, or even copper coin. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes or sandals or even a walker stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. You know, one of the reasons that in this church, very rarely do I preach on tithing and offering. I had somebody call me. She lived all the way in Nashville, Tennessee. She called and said, what's the cash out? I want to pay my tithes. Right? Because when you do what God is asking you to do, you don't have to beg for people to do stuff. You don't have to worry about how we're going to keep the lights on. Somebody always going to show up. Do y'all know that there's people that go to this, that don't even go to this church, who have recurring donations?
Amen.
Like, and so what Jesus is saying, he's saying to me, when I was reading, he's saying to me, son, just preach the gospel. Put your personal needs on the back burner. It's crazy how I was talking to our minister, Minister Tony, and we were just saying how there's never going to be a time in your life when everything is all good. There is never, I don't care how much money you got, I don't care if you're married, I don't care. It's always going to be. And let me tell you how I got to that thought. One day I was riding to work and I saw my daughter-in-law dropping the baby off at the daycare. And I was just like everything just coming full circle. Because I was thinking, you know, like, I'm good right now. I was thinking, that's my daughter-in-law. It's like, it's crazy to have a daughter-in-law. Thinking, wow, like, I got a whole daughter-in-law out here. And I was just thinking, like, but as time goes on, you know, they're going to face challenges with that baby. Or God forbid that my son or my daughter-in-law gets sick and one of them has to care for another. But if that happens to them, it's also happening to me. If something happens to Ethan, it's not just happening to Ethan, it's also happening to me. Right? So there's never going to be a time in your life where every single thing is all good. And so if you go through life trying to put all your needs, make sure you good before you serve God, you're never going to really serve God because there's never going to be a time where it seems like all your needs are met. When in actuality, God has already met all your needs. But it's us who feels like it's still something missing. Jesus says, whenever you enter a city or a village, search for a worthy person and stay into his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it's not, take back the blessing. The stuff is so clear. I don't know why we think that we walk in blessings and they can't never leave us. Why we think we just the walking blessed and the blessings can never leave. But Jesus is telling his disciples, you can do these things, you can cast out demons, you can heal, you can even hand out blessings. But if the blessings are not being received, then you can take them back. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or to listen to your message, shake it. Shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth. The wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town as this on Judgment Day. Stop trying to figure out who's going to receive you and who's not going to receive this lifestyle change. When you get Jesus in your life, things drastically change. And a lot of people think that they're going to get drastically better really, really fast. They actually get tougher. They get better, but they get tougher. Because God is trying to produce something in you. And that's the end of the chapter. Because God is trying to produce all the fruits of the Spirit in you. The fruits of the Spirit are not produced in laziness and in comfort. The fruits of the Spirit are produced when you are suffering. You learn how to be patient when somebody tries your patience. You learn how to forgive when somebody wrongs you. You learn what joy is when you go through pain. You don't learn all of those things when you're comfortable. You don't learn all of those things when everything's good. You learn how to appreciate the mountaintop because you've been in a valley. And Jesus is saying, if you're focused on just climbing and getting out of the valley by yourself, you're never going to reach the mountaintop. The mountaintop is a place that you have to be invited to come. He invited Moses to come up there. And even when he got up there, like Moses ended up wanting to humble himself and cover his face and lay back down. By the time we get to the 21st and the 22nd verse, Jesus is telling his disciples, so he's already told them to, you know, be bold and walk in authority. I give you authority to do these things. He told them, don't worry about your personal needs. Just focus on the gospel. And then when we get to the 21st verse, he says, and when I say your personal needs, that's not just the material. That includes your family as well. He says, a brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. That thing is clear. Y'all understand? Like, somebody's sitting here right now with questions. What that mean, Pastor? I'm telling you, a brother will betray his brother to death. When the real Jesus, I ain't talking about the fake church Jesus. I'm talking about when the real Jesus get involved and you start to change your life. And you start to hold people and yourself accountable for the things that are wrong, your family will turn their backs on you. People will walk away from you. When you start trying to have conversations with your mother about the things that she allowed to happen, about that time such and such got molested, and about why she dated such and such man that abused them, or beat her, or you start digging into them places that ain't nobody supposed to talk about, and they told you not to talk about because you a child. Yeah. When you start digging in them places, it starts to show you who your family really is. Yeah. That's what Jesus is saying right here, and it's clear. He said, people are going to hate you because you are my follower. You would think, that if a person walk around saying they love God, that people going to love them. Like, oh, they a good person. I love them because they love God. You would think that's how it would go. If a person just walk around trying to do good and feed the hungry and love on people and just care for people, you think they would be the most popular people in the world. But clearly, that's not what Scripture says. Because in order to do good to a person, that means you're going to have to be calling out the person who did them wrong. So when you start ministering to the person that got lied to, guess who you pulling on? Who cover you pulling? You pulling the liar's cover. Amen. When you start to feed people, guess who you pulling the cover on? The people that were starving them. And they don't like to be made to look bad. When you start living for Jesus for real, you start to pull the cover on everybody who ain't living for Jesus for real. And they don't like to look bad. So they hate you. But everyone who endures to the end gonna be saved. So when you start to face all of these types of trials like this, you gotta keep going. You gotta keep going. And it's gonna be the same one. It's gonna be that same family member. I pray it's the same family member. I pray it's the same family member that hurts you. That's going to have to turn around and ask for forgiveness and ask you to pray for them. Amen. And so I close with the last verses in this chapter. Because Jesus is clearly trying to give us confidence. He's clearly trying to give us confidence. And y'all don't forget, I started this with a testimony about myself. You know, I have total confidence in him, but sometimes my confidence in me wavers. You know, sometimes I'm praying, you know, because we went on our anniversary trip. I told you last Sunday, we went on our anniversary trip, and I'm riding back on Friday, and I'm saying, man, I ain't read all week. I got to preach on Sunday. And I'm like, look, you know, Lord, I don't like feeling like I'm throwing something together. This sermon right here, well, this was last night at 10 o'clock. I started reading Matthew 10, right? But that's how I talk to him. I said, God, I'm going to do better. I say, I know I'm reading this, and I thank you for giving me this word that you're giving me right now. But I ain't putting I didn't dig into it. I didn't dig into the scripture. I didn't sit with you this week and read. And, you know, I don't want to take it for granted that he's going to tell me, it's all right, son, you was on your anniversary, it's okay. I don't want to get to the point that I start thinking like that and taking it for granted, because then I can just throw God on the back burner, I'm going to be all right. But I had to talk to him, I had to say, you know what, I ain't ready. And I don't want to get up there and feel like I'm throwing something together for your people. Right? But that's the thing about God. He's always talking. He started talking through that chosen. He started talking through, he was talking to me when I saw my daughter at the daycare. He'd been talking to me. That's why you got to have a relationship with him down throughout the week.
Amen.
So that when it's time to speak, you got a word in you that will come up. So when I get to the 26th through the 42nd verse, it says, but don't be afraid. These words are so clear. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you. Because you're going to come across those type of people. They're going to threaten to walk away. They're going to threaten to take stuff back. Oh, you give me this back. Right? They're going to threaten to talk about you. Right? They're going to threaten to reveal your secrets. That's why you should have none. That's why you should repent. That's why you should tell your own mess before somebody else can tell it. Because that's what the devil do. He try to make you hide. He try to make you shame. The word says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, no matter what it is. If something has happened to you, that's why we allow people in this church to testify. right? And it's not for show. Everybody that get up here and speak, I ask them, I say, do you want this recorded or not? Because this is not about me putting this on YouTube. This is not about this going on the podcast. This is not about the cameras. Even during COVID, when we got the altar call and we got the sermon, we cut the camera off because that ain't for people to see. That's not for show. If there is something that has happened to you, don't let the devil have you sitting there shame. Tell your story. Get free from that thing. Right? Don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming. And this is why Jesus says, don't be afraid. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed. And all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in darkness, shout abroad when the daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. And when I read that part, y'all, I just thought about, you know, this little bitty church and how we do things and how we move and how we operate. A lot of times, even with the fast, and for those who didn't, you know, for whatever reason, that we closed the fast with a dinner at our house. And before the dinner, we had the music on in the living room, and we were praying, and my wife asked me, she said, I want you to pray for every single person in the vision. And that might be weird to some people. But that was something that God told her in secret. That was something that God whispered in her ear. And she had the confidence to say, I'm going to do it. Even if this thing seems weird, even if this don't seem like normal church, even if God giving me all these little bitty steps and do this and do that, and somebody thinking like, man, they do stuff different over there. What he whispers to me, what he whispers to my heart, what he tells me to do, what he tells me to preach, what he tells me to prophesy, I can't be afraid to shout that out. And if somebody think it's weird, then this little church too weird, then go on to the next church. But I have to be confident because Jesus is clearly telling me, don't be afraid. When I tell you to do something, do it. Do it. Shout it from the housetops. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. That's literal and figurative. They cannot touch your soul. Some of us in here, yeah, you know, you got people in your life that are using you for your body. Say it that way. Or you might think that your body is the only tool that you can use to get a person to love you. Not so. He says, don't fear the person that can kill your body. Right? Don't be afraid. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. What is the price of 2 sparrows, 1 cup of corn, right? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are, and I could call each and every one of you by name, you are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. All you got to do is give God his just due. You have to acknowledge him, not just with your mouth. Even the demons do that. The demons knew Jesus was real. Even the demons do that. You have to acknowledge him with your life. You say, if you acknowledge me with your life, then I will acknowledge you before my Father. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. You can't deny him down here and then try to claim him when it's time to go up there. Lord, I thank you. He says, it's clear, y'all. Don't imagine that I come to bring peace on earth. I come not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. All the answers in the Word. I remember the first time that somebody told me I wasn't my boy's father. Because they, if y'all don't know, they not my oldest two, not my biological. I remember the first time somebody was bold enough to tell me that they weren't mine. You ain't their dad. Right? I remember the first time. And it was all because of a power struggle. I had come into their life. I had assumed the role of head of my house. I was living for the Lord and things were starting to change. And the person who was in control was starting to lose control. And it was because of the Word. But now, me and that person have a good relationship. Now, I could have been afraid, or I could have been angry and held that in my heart, or I could have just kept doing what I'm explaining because I want y'all to understand when they say a mother-in-law against a daughter-in-law. If you marry a mama's boy, that's what it's talking about. If you marry a mama's boy who don't know how to put his wife before his mama, it's going to be problems. And the only way them problems gonna get fixed is if Jesus enters the picture, yeah. And the mama's boy get the confidence to say, "Mama, I love you." But these are the type of things that happen when Jesus enters the scene. He started to put stuff in order, and it causes friction.
Yeah.
He causes friction in every relationship that you have. It causes friction with your kids. Your in-laws, your biologicals, it causes friction. But it's clear. He said your enemy is going to be those of your home. And it's your own household, because when you don't like somebody at your job, they go to their house and you go, I ain't got to be around you. But when you go home, I'm looking at you. Right. We got to figure this thing out.
Right.
The majority of your Word, before you can live the Word anywhere else, you got to live it in your house. And you can't be afraid to challenge or to do the things that God is asking you to do. If you a husband, God is challenging you to lead. If you a wife, he's challenging you to compass. If you see the husband ain't leaning their head, lean it to the right, say, babe, shift it and shift their head. Now, he might not want you to be doing all that. But if you're going to follow, if you're going to do what the Word clearly says do, which is to be a helpmate and a compass, you're going to do it. You're going to follow Jesus before you follow him.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because he's supposed to be following God before he try to lead you.
Amen.
Jesus puts these things in order. He says, if you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Come on now. Clearly, if you love your son or your daughter more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Clear. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. That's clear. Anyone who receives you receives me. And anyone who receives me